Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. And today we're in Luke chapter 8, verses 9 to 18. You know, yesterday we heard the parable of the sower, and now we're going to hear what it means. And I also kind of misled you yesterday. I should be upfront about that. Yesterday, I said we would hold off the explanation so that we could think about it clearly ourselves. And then as we went through it, I said, well, when Jesus explains it, were the seeds, and then I went off and why that didn't work for me. And I've done this with a number of people in person. And I say, never mind the explanation. Let's just talk about the parable. And then I will say that very thing, were the seeds. But in fact, that's not what Jesus says. in this one, Jesus says fairly clearly, well, you know what? No, never mind. Let's get there and find out. And maybe you'll forgive me my slight deception. We'll see. So here it is. It's Luke chapter 8, verses 9 to 18. Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. Jesus said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones in the path are those who have heard when the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe only for a while, and a time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for those in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. No one, after lighting a lamp, hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed, nor is anything secret that will not become known and come to light. Then pay attention to how you listen. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who do not have, even what they seem to have will be taken away. So, I deceived you a little bit, didn't I? The explanation Jesus gives here is good. It works wonderfully. You can hear those words. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it means. The problem with that for me is that when we do that, we've just turned it into an allegory. And Jesus likes to teach in parables. not allegories. So why would we take a parable and turn it into an allegory? Well, Luke has done that, certainly. I don't think that Jesus would have done that. And the other reason I don't think Jesus would have done that is because it was colloquially known as the parable of the sower. That's what it was called. That's how it was referred to by people. Well, you know the parable of the sower. But when Jesus explains it this way in Luke's gospel, it's not the parable of the sower at all, is it? It's the parable of the soil. Because that's how it relates to us. We're not the sower, we're not the seed, we're the soil receiving it. So this should be the parable of the soil. And maybe for some it is. When the disciples asked Jesus what this parable meant, he says, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. Like, you know stuff. But to others, I speak in parables so that looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand. So Jesus seems to be saying, at least what I hear, is that Jesus is saying, it's not obvious. It's not meant to be obvious. It's not just about looking, and it's not just about listening. It is about reflecting and wondering and thinking. And then he goes on to explain what the parable means, which seems to run counter to the idea of looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand. Unless the idea is what Jesus is saying is, I don't really want them to know this is a secret thing just for us in the club. But it doesn't make sense that Jesus would have these crowds gather and then he would tell them a secret that they could not possibly understand. No, it makes much more sense to me that he would give them information upon which they could reflect, that they could continue to learn even when he wasn't with them. Right? If you were traveling with Jesus, every day you could ask Jesus another question and you could listen and ponder. But if Jesus is not around, well, what are you supposed to do? I already learned the thing. Yeah, but if I have parables, I can reflect on those parables and they speak to me anew. And I can begin to perceive beyond what I simply see, and I can begin to hear beyond what I understand, actually. I feel it. I start to get it because I spend time with it. Now, that's all very self-serving. That all serves me in the way that I like to look at Scripture, the way that I understand Jesus, the way that I like to look at parables. I know. I acknowledge that. Doesn't mean it's wrong. But I am likely to interpret it that way. And I think that I read Scripture that way, not because of this parable, but because that is my inclination after whatever years of experience that I have. I don't know the moment when I started to read Scripture differently than I did when I was 6 years old. But somewhere in the last 56 years, from 6 to 62, I have changed my perspective, my understanding. Jesus goes on to say, no one after lighting a lamp hides it under a jar, puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. Now, growing up I heard, well, that's about me showing my light and being a good person and not just quietly. Or could this be about this kind of knowledge, this spiritual depth? No, we don't hide it. Here it is. It's out here in a parable so that everybody can see it. Put it right there in the lampstand. Everybody, they know it. They've called it the parable of the sower. There it is, that we all might see it so that nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed. If you spend time with it, you will come to an understanding. And by the way, you might come to that understanding whether you believe in me, whether you believe in Jesus or not, whether you believe in what we say as a matter of faith about Jesus, that he is one with God, that he is the Son of God, begotten, not made, crucified, risen, all of those things. Whether you believe those things or not, you can still reflect on this parable and keep coming back at it. That light is right out there, not hidden. Not hidden behind a wall of faith, right? Not hidden under a basket where we have to try to figure out the code so that we can move the basket. That's not it at all. Nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed, nor is anything secret that will not become known and come to light. Then pay attention to how you listen. Think about how you go about this. How do you learn? How do you listen? For those who have, more will be given. Once you get it, you get more. And for those who do not have, even what they seem to have will be taken away. I have a confidence in my faith. And I continue to grow in that faith, and I do grow in that confidence. If my confidence is in me, just me alone, Norm Seeley, oh, he's so clever and he's bright and, oh, have you seen he can lift a couch all by himself? If all of my faith is in me, then that will be taken away because there comes a time when I can't lift that couch all by myself, like now. There comes a time when I will not be as clever or as smart as I once was, like now. I might be wiser, perhaps, but I'm not. Not faster, right? My faith in me, I will diminish. But when my faith is in God, I it grows. So for those who have, more will be given. You are allowed to grow in it. That's the great thing about faith, is that the returns keep coming. And they get bigger, they are greater. But faith in me. Now that's diminishing returns, frankly. Faith in sort of just the world around me. I don't have to be distrustful or paranoid about the world around me, but I can't rely on the world around me alone. I need a partnership with God. Because I'll tell you, I'm not quite sure that we human beings can overcome our climate crisis on our own. We fight too much. We are too selfish. There's too much. I think we have the brilliance to do it. I just don't know that we have the wisdom to do it. But I count on the Spirit. I count on God. And so you see, while I see so many people around me becoming despairing more and more all the time, despairing and becoming more hopeless. And I mean, I have theories about why we're doing that. I'm not so sure that the world today is significantly worse than it was in the mid-60s when America was in the midst of an unconscionable war that they were losing. And there was lying and cheating and stealing and soldiers on campuses shooting. Like I was a child, but my parents were raising me in that time, and we were terrified that we would die in a nuclear war at any moment. The October crisis happened. It was a terrible time. And I don't know whether it was more terrible now than it is today, but we've been in terrible times before, but somehow we got through those times. These days, we're just this constant pounding of media. Doom scrolling. It's on my phone. It's on my computer. It's on my TV. I have family and friends who just run the TV all the time on whatever network they happen to like, the one that feeds them the same thing. You know, and if you've seen a report about a shooting 12 times in an afternoon, your brain starts to feel like there was 12 shootings. And by the way, one shooting is too much. 12, oh my God, that's more than we've ever had before. Well, no, we just heard it, same story, 12, and we begin to despair. Those who do not have even what they seem to have will be taken away. Oh, we've got this media stuff, it's so fantastic. Got it on my phone, I got it on my TV all the time, I've got it on demand whenever I need to see it. Absolutely, and I have access. Oh, you know, the Amazon can deliver anything to me, and in fact, Google's always listening to me, so if I'm interested in something, I start getting ads for it right away on Facebook. Oh, what a world we're living in. Oh, absolutely. That's what I have faith in. And then you find it eating you up and using you as opposed to serving you, and you begin to despair. If my faith is in God, who encourages me to break away, encourages me to try. inspires me to have hope, well, then I find that my faith, my hope actually grows. Because my faith is not in the technology that I do, by the way, use and quite like in many ways, even as I don't trust it in others. See, to me, these words ring very true. And I have friends and colleagues who do not believe, as I believe, non-theists to be sure, who go like, you and your invisible faith, Norm, seriously. Why would you put your faith into something you can't prove, something that is so not only provable, but almost laughable at times when you hear the stories? And I hear them. There's no point in fighting about it. But I wonder how they could put their faith in something that again and again and again and again disappoints. Why would you put your faith in something that is actually never delivered for you? Other than fleeting pleasure or entertainment. Why would you invest there? But that just shows the divide. But this, to me, is what that's about. That faith is out there and available to us. It isn't in a secret club. No, this lamp isn't hidden under a jar, or under a basket, or under a bed. It's up on the lampstand so that all can see it. All have access to it. You don't have to join the club. You don't have to believe all the same things to have access to the wisdom. And that's, again, how parables work. This isn't a parable about the life, the death, the resurrection, the second coming of Jesus. It's none of that. This isn't a parable about the Trinity. As a Trinitarian, do I hear a certain thing going on in the story? Absolutely. As someone who believes in the physical resurrection of Jesus, you might hear something in the story that's different, but there's something in this for everybody. But it seems to me that in this moment, Luke has decided to just focus on himself or on his community and given us a translation. But parables don't translate. I think you've heard me say as we were going through Luke's gospel, and it's definitely true in other gospels, you can see it, where it looks like Jesus said a whole bunch of things in one sitting. But I suspect there are a number of sayings that the gospel writer has stuck together like a quilt. We've just sewn them together. So I'm not so sure that the story of the lamp hiding under a jar belongs with the parable of the sower or the explanation. But it does, for me, challenge the idea that we could explain this parable. Because once we've explained it and decoded it, there's no light anymore. There's a test to pass. If you know it, you're in the club. That's not dynamic anymore. We figured it out. All right? And it goes against this idea of looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand. This idea that we keep coming back to it and we go beyond what we simply understand. We start to feel, we start to hear things in the story more than we can just see on the face of it. Anyway, that's just how I'm feeling about it right now. But I'm going to just leave it with you. This is a short one today. I am just going to leave it with you to see, what do you think? What do you think of this explanation of the parable? Does that work for you? Or are there others? And are the others an addition? Or are they just actually just more confusing? It's just better to have it as one. And what do you think about the idea of a lamp under a jar? Is it, as I was taught in my Sunday school, this is about me sharing God's love, living like a good citizen in the world, like a faithful person, shining that light and letting that light affect the world? Or indeed, is it about this kind of knowledge itself? Or does it have to be either or? Anyway, I'm going to leave that with you and simply offer a prayer. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you for dynamic parables. Thank you for explanations. Thank you for the the imagination and the opportunity to challenge one explanation and find another, to keep listening, to keep hearing, and ultimately hear your voice emerge that we might follow beyond what we might perceive, but how we feel the pull of your word. God, thank you for this time. And as we hear your word, God, may we follow and may we grow in faith. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's enough for me today. But I do look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Until I see you, please, God bless you. Please know that God blesses you. That means that God sees you and loves you. But God's love doesn't just surround you, it also moves through you into the world and does amazing things. The world is better because of you, because God's love flows through you and you share that even without knowing it sometimes. You should see what happens when you know it. Anyway, until I see you, God bless you. Thank you for being you.